go back to Psalm 86 with me. As much as I would like to deal with the whole psalm, and we have before, we wanted to look at one verse. One verse caught my attention some time ago, and I've been thinking about it ever since. Verse 17. David says, show me, he's praying to the Lord, he says, show me a token for good. Show me a token for good. Now, as the title says, this is a prayer of David. David was a man after God's own heart. David is called the sweet psalmist of Israel. David was the king of Israel. David knew the Lord and was known of the Lord. Yet, he prayed, show me a token for good. Show me evidence, proof that you mean me good. That we know that all things work together for good to them that love God. David wrote in Psalm 73, I know that God is good to Israel and to them that are of a clean and upright heart. And so what he's saying is, show me. I need to see a token that you mean me good. That it's all good, that I'm one of your own, that you mean nothing good but good for me, that I'm one of the Lord's. That really caught my attention. And I've been thinking about that for a long time now. Lord, show me a token for good. Now, the Lord Jesus Christ plainly said, an evil and adulterous generation seeketh after a sign, but no sign will be given. He plainly said that. No sign will be given except, you remember what? The sign of the prophet Jonas, which is Christ crucified, is what that is. No sign will be given. And the scriptures plainly tells us that the Antichrist, or spirit of Antichrist, and there are many, it's not just one person, it's the spirit of Antichrist, uses signs and lying wonders to deceive many. And he said that even God the Father, when people receive not the love of the truth, he sends strong delusions that they believe a lie. Now, that's what the scripture said. Those who don't receive the truth, believe the truth, God sends some kind of signs. Well, yet every, and so we're not to look for signs. Visions and signs and miracles are not to be trusted. God doesn't give them. Not in that way. What we need to look to and believe and trust only is the Word of God. The Word of God. The truth of God. And yet, every child of God asks this with David. Lord, I need a special manifestation. I want to know, personally. I want you to say to my soul, David said this, say unto my soul, I am thy salvation. Show me a token for good. Do you say that? I do. I'm interested in that. I want the Lord, I need the Lord to show me a token for good. Every single child of God, from Abel to Zechariah, or Zerubbabel, struggles with sin and unbelief. Self-righteous people don't struggle with sin and unbelief. They have a false refuge. But God's people struggle with sin and unbelief. They are harassed by their adversary, the devil, who's the accuser of the brethren. And God's people all go through good times and bad times, up and down, hot and cold, all the time. All the time. And if you're honest, you worry about your salvation. I know what these, as I said, these self-righteous people brag about. I know I'm saved and sure for heaven as if I'm already there. Well, Paul said that he hadn't arrived yet, didn't it? And so he said, this one thing I do, I pray it. And all of God's people worry about their salvation to some degree, and they wonder if everything's going to turn out all right. I know you all know this hymn and love it well. John Newton, who wrote Amazing Grace, wrote this, and I know you've never forgotten it since you first heard it. 'Tis a point I long to know, and oft it causes anxious thought. Do I love the Lord or no? Am I His or am I not? If I love Him, why am I thus? Why this dull and lifeless frame? Hardly sure can they be worse who never knew His name. Could my heart so hard remain, and prayer a task and a burden prove, and every trifle give me pain, if I knew a Savior's love? When I turn my eyes within, all is dark and vain and wild, filled with unbelief and sin, can I deem myself a child? If I pray or hear or read, sin is mixed with all I do. You that love the Lord indeed, tell me, is it thus with you? You remember when you first heard that? I pasted it in the back of my Bible because it meant so much to me. Those are the struggles that every single child of God has quite often. And so I can say, can you say with David, show me a token for good. I need a token for good. Show me evidence or proof that I'm one of yours and that you mean nothing but good for me and that it's all going to turn out good. Well, the greatest, surest token, the chief proof or evidence and sign or signal, if you will, that everything is working together for your good, that you're one of God's people, is this. He reveals the gospel to you. He reveals the truth to you. Turn with me to 1 Corinthians 2. 1 Corinthians 2. By God's grace tonight, we're not going to just see one token. We're going to see several from God's Word. 1 Corinthians 2. See, in the last days, and these are the very last of the last day, perilous times, Scripture speaks of, Paul said they will turn away their ears from the truth unto fables. And we've never lived in a time that more clearly fits that than now. Have more Bibles, but less truth. Less men that preach it. So the greatest and surest token that God means you nothing but good, a token of His goodness, that you're one of His elect, that all is well, is the Word of truth, the gospel of God's grace in Christ revealed to you. In 1 Corinthians 2, verse 14, it says, the natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God. They're foolishness unto him. Neither can he know them. They're spiritually discerned. In other words, you can't figure these things out. God has to reveal them to you. All right, well, up in verse 10, it says, God hath revealed them unto us by His Spirit. God hath revealed the things of God, the things of Christ unto us by His Holy Spirit. Listen to this psalm. Here's what he said in Psalm 147. He said, He has showed His word unto Jacob, His statutes, His judgments unto Israel. He hath not so dealt with any other nation. As for His judgment, His ways, they have not known them. But He showed His ways unto Jacob, unto Israel, unto His people, all of His people. all of his people. Peter said, well, Pastor Mahan preached on it on the radio not long ago. He said, knowing, brethren, beloved, your election of God, because our gospel came unto you. Our gospel. There's a difference between the true gospel and this other gospel that's being preached out there today. There's another Jesus being preached out there today. That's not the Jesus Christ of Scripture. The one being preached today is an impotent failure who cannot do anything but what men allow him to do. That's not the Jesus Christ of Scripture. The God being preached today is a God who is in men's hands rather than the God of the Bible, in whose hands we are. The God being preached today is no God at all. That's what David said in Psalm 86. Did he say that among all the gods, there's none like you? Because they're not God at all. They want to be God and can't be God unless men let him. That's not the God enough. That's not our God. And to all of his elects, to all of his people, he reveals himself to them. He says, no, in your election, because our gospel came to you, not in word only, but in power, quickening power, redeeming power, regenerating power. Our gospel, the gospel, there's only one, the truth as it is in the Lord Jesus Christ. The gospel of God's sovereign electing grace in Jesus Christ. The gospel of God's sovereign mercy. The gospel of God's substitutionary, Christ's substitutionary death on Calvary's tree. The gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. Who He is. Who He is. One time He asked His disciples, who do men say that I am? And they said, some say you're this and some say you're that. And that sounds like what men are saying about him today. He's this. He's a good man. He's a miracle worker. He's a humanitarian. He's this. He's that. He's a healer. He's a friend and all of that. But he said to his disciple, who do you say that I am? And like Thomas, he said, you're my Lord and my God. You're God manifest in the flesh. Well, he said, flesh and blood didn't reveal that to you, but my Father which is in heaven. So he's not merely Jesus. He's the Lord God of glory. God manifest in the flesh. Well, why? The gospel, we know. The gospel he's revealed to us. Why he came. Why did Jesus Christ come? Just to help us when we get in trouble? Just to be an insurance policy? Oh, no. He came, he said, I am come that they might have life. They're dead. I came to raise them like he came to raise Lazarus. The Lord Jesus Christ came as a sin offering for his people. Sin offering. His people were dead and trespassed in sin and broken God's holy law. And Christ came down here to fulfill that law. And he did it. And Christ came down here to pay for every one of their sin. And he did it. He didn't try to do it. He did it. And he went to Calvary's tree and God poured on him his wrath and put on him the iniquity of all of his people. And Jesus Christ paid for every sin of every one of God's people. He saved them. He didn't try to save. He came to save them. And he did just that. And hanging on Calvary's tree, he said his last words, it is finished. Christ didn't come to try to save anybody. He came to save his people, and he did just that. That's the Christ of Scripture. That's the gospel that he's revealed to you. Where is he now? Seated at the right hand of the majesty on high. He's not hanging around everybody's heart's door trying to come in if they let him. No, sir. He's seated right now on the throne of glory, reigning and ruling over all flesh. That's the Jesus Christ of Scripture, which very few people know. This is the surest chief token that God means you good, is that he's revealed the gospel, the truth of who he is, who Christ is, and yourself. Most people think very highly of themselves when they know not that they're wretched, miserable, poor, blind, and naked, unclean before God, and need this Savior to pay for their sins. You know that. Why do you know that? That's a token for good. He's revealed this gospel unto you. And he's coming again. Look over the Gospel of Joshua. Gospel of Joshua, right after the five books of Moses, Joshua. Here it is, a sure token. Sure token. You know the story. And this harlot named Rahab. Our Lord said the publicans and the harlots will enter into heaven before the self-righteous, the Pharisees and so forth. Because Christ came to save sinners. And he came to save everyone that the Father gave him. And he did just that. And Rahab was one of them. And here in Joshua chapter 2, you remember the story, as much as I'd like to deal with it at another time. But in verse 12, Rahab is speaking to these men sent by Joshua who represent the word of God, the preachers of the word. And she said unto them in verse 12, I pray you swear unto me by the Lord, since I have showed you kindness, that you will also show kindness unto my father's house and give me a true token. Give me a token, something that proves to me that you will save me, that you will do what you said you would do, that you came to save me. You were sent and revealed all this to me, and that you intend to save, purpose to save me. Show me a token. So these men said, okay. In verse 18, they said, when we come into the land, you bind this line of scarlet thread in the window which thou didst let us down by. You know the story. She let down this line, this scarlet, this red line from her window, and these men climbed down from that red scarlet line. Well, what is that talking about? Nothing but the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. That red line that runs through all of God's Word from Genesis to Revelation is the redemption of the salvation of all of God's people. Everything concerning salvation hangs on that scarlet line. And they revealed this to her. This is the token. This is the sure token that we mean you nothing but good. Yea, salvation. That when we come through, when we see this line, you're coming out. Mark it down. That's the token. So down in verse 8:21, it says, she said, according to your word, so be it. So she sent them away, and they departed. And what did she do? Well, her hope, all of her hope of not being destroyed with that wicked city of Jericho, all of her salvation was hanging on that scarlet line. So she took that scarlet line and bound it in the window. And did not our Lord give this sure token to all the children of Israel when they were leaving Egypt? In Exodus 12, He said, this is it. When I see the blood, I'll pass over you. Take the blood and strike it over the lintel and the doorpost, because I'm coming through the death angel and I'm going to destroy everybody in Egypt except those who are under the blood. That's the token. A sure token. When I see the blood. Not if, and, or maybe, or but when I see that blood, I will pass over you. Lord, show me a token for good. Has He showed you that? What is your salvation? Your works? Your decision? Your baptism? Your turning over a new leaf? One of the brothers the other day said, I turn it over and it's the same as the other side. No good. Well, what is your hope? What can wash away my sins? Nothing but the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. That's the surest and chief token that God can show you. Absolute. And here's another token. Faith. Faith is a sure token. Faith. To receive His Word, to believe it, to rejoice. Faith is a sure token. In John chapter 1, our Lord, the Scripture says, as many as received Him, to them gave He the power, the right, to become sons of God, even to those that believe on His name. Not to him that worketh, but to him that believeth. As many as received Him, to them gave He the right to become the sons of God. Well, why did they receive Him? Why does anyone receive the truth? The natural man receiveth not the truth. Isn't that what it said? It says it's foolishness to him. Neither can he know. Then why does anyone receive the truth? Why does anyone believe the truth that's repulsive to our human nature? They were born of God. Faith is not a decision of the human will. Faith is not something we decide to do. Faith is an act of God. Faith is a miracle of God. Faith is the power of God to take a man and make him believe what he can't, what he won't, make him love what he hates by nature, make him hate what he loves, make him see what you can't see, hear what you can't hear, believe that which is, repulsive to human pride and wisdom and so forth. The gospel is an offense to the natural man. And it takes the power of God to make a man believe it. That's what Ephesians 1:19 says. This is to you who believe according to the working of His mighty power. The working of His mighty power. This faith, this true faith, this God-given faith, is a true token for good. A token for good. Truth revealed, faith given, and the Spirit of God given. Look at Ephesians 1 with me. Ephesians chapter 1. This is a true token for good. The Spirit of God. Our Lord said, if any man hath not the Spirit, he's not of His. As many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. Well, what does the Holy Spirit do? Well, He doesn't do what this modern religious world says and pretends that He does. You see all of this stuff that goes on today under the name of the Holy Spirit, all this babbling lunacy, makes people waller around and hang from chandeliers and all this ridiculous stuff. Makes them act like the lunatic in the graveyard. Remember when the Lord came to that Gadarene demoniac in the tombs? He was doing what people do today that call it the spirit-filled Christian, doing all those crazy, acting like a wild man. But when the Holy Spirit came upon him, when the people found him, he wasn't jumping all over the place and talking like a blooming idiot. He was seated at the feet of the Lord Jesus Christ, clothed in his right mind, hearing Jesus, had his mouth shut, listening to Jesus Christ. That's the Holy Spirit. Who takes the things of Christ and shows them unto us. He'll not speak of himself. But here in Ephesians chapter 1 and verse 13, he says, in whom, that is in Christ, you trusted. And when I talk about this faith, the Scriptures talks about faith. What faith is in Jesus Christ alone. Faith is in Jesus Christ alone. Faith is not even in your faith. Faith is in Jesus Christ. A person who really believes Jesus Christ and looks to Jesus Christ, looks to Him for all their salvation. That He's all. He's all their wisdom, righteousness, sanctification, redemption. He's all their hope. It's not anything to do with them. It's everything to do with Him. In whom ye also trusted, verse 13, after you heard the word of truth. The truth. The gospel of your salvation. In whom also, after you believe, you were sealed with that Holy Spirit of promise, who's the earnest, the earnest of our inheritance. Purchase, possession, the praise of His glory, the earnest, like a token. Holy Spirit is that token. Our Lord said, when I go away, I'll send the Holy Spirit to you. He said, the Comforter, whom the Father will send in my name, He'll take the things of mine and show them unto you. He points to me. He bear witness of me. When He comes, He'll convince a people out of every tribe, kindred, nation, and tongue of sin, righteousness, and judgment. That is all according to me. It's all in me. It's all up to me. The Holy Spirit will take the things of mine and show you, and you'll see that salvation is 100% in, by, through, for, to the glory of the Lord Jesus Christ. That's it. That's the greatest token that God could give to a human being. The chief, surest token. Show me a token for good. Do you believe, do you see that Jesus Christ is all your hope? Do you? That's the best token they can show you. Doesn't get any better than that. A sure token for good. All people don't see that. The earnest of the Holy Spirit. He sends him and grounds his people and settles them in faith, shuts them up to faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. The next thing, a token for good. Show me a token for good. Are these things. Show me a token for good, David said. Well, all of God's people are persecuted for the truth's sake. All of God's people go through trials, tribulations, and afflictions, the first of which is persecution for the truth. Philippians 1, go over there, Philippians chapter 1. All of God's people are persecuted for the truth's sake. Talking to a woman one time whose husband was a so-called preacher, actually he was a clown. He was actually a clown. He called himself a clown for Jesus, and he dressed up like a clown, and that's what he was, a blooming idiot. God's men are not clowns. There's nothing of the sort in God's Word. Can you imagine Simon Peter dressing up, or Paul or these men doing the things that you see so-called preachers do today? It's an abomination in the name of God. It's a mockery of God in Scripture. God's men don't do that. And they're fools. They're fools. Clowns. Well, I said to this woman, she said, and we were talking about the truth, and what men call the truth is God loves you and Jesus died for you and He wants you to accept Him and all that. I said, where is the offense in that? The Scriptures calls it the offense of the cross. I said, where is the offense in that? Who's offended when you tell them God loves them, that God needs them, that God wants them? Where's the offense in that? Well, that feeds people's pride. That makes people feel good. Oh, God loves me. God wants me. God needs me. Church can't be church without me. What's offensive about that? Nothing. Here's the offense. God doesn't need you at all. That without Him you can do nothing. That in your flesh dwelleth no good thing. That you're absolutely repulsive to a holy God by nature. That's the offense. That what it took to save the rotten sinner like you, this is what the Scripture said. What it took to save a hell-deserving worm like us is for God to put His Son on the tree, Calvary's tree, and make Him sin and pour out His wrath on Him. Put His Son to death. Why? Why did He do that? Because of sin. He was a substitute. That was us. That's offensive. I'm not that bad, men say. We're worse than that. Worse than that. Why did Jesus Christ die on the cross then? If righteousness, Scripture says, comes by the law or by us doing anything, Jesus Christ died in vain. That's how serious it is. Philippians 1, and the offense is that God may not love us. That God may not save us. That God doesn't need us. But we desperately need Him. And I can tell you this, though, on the authority of God's Word, all that do need His mercy, all that do call on Him for mercy will get it. Because He's ready to pardon. He delights to show mercy. But He doesn't have to. No. That's the offense. And all who preach this and all who believe this will be persecuted for it. They killed every single prophet except Elijah who rose. They killed every prophet. Why? Well, none of them went around telling everybody how much God loved them. Not one of them. You'll never find it in Scripture. None of the apostles ever stood in a public place and said, God loves you. Not once. Peter preached at Pentecost. The one that you killed is right now on the throne and you're in His hands to do as He pleases. And he sat down. He didn't have an altar call. He didn't say, now what will you do with Jesus? They'd already done what they would with Jesus. They killed him. And now he says, here's the question. Here's the question. What's he going to do with us? That's the fear of the Lord, he said. And they, God struck fear in their hearts. And they, 3,000 people said, what shall we do? And that's when Peter said, believe. Believe. And you preach this and you believe this and you tell your friends and your family and your neighbor and your co-workers this and they'll hate you for it. But it's the truth. And you won't be their enemies for telling them the truth. You just tell them the truth. And Philippians 1 verse 28 says, in nothing terrified by your adversary, and they will be many. Our Lord said, you'll be hated by all men for my name's sake, for my honor's sake, for my glory's sake, for my work's sake, for my person's sake. To them, it's a token of perdition. They think because you're hated, because everybody, you know, turns thumbs down on you, that you're a cult. You're in a cult, that you believe something everybody else doesn't believe, so you're in a cult. Folks, the truth has always been in the minority. As in the days of Noah, our Lord said. How many were in the ark? 8. Noah preached for 120 years. What did he preach? What did he preach? The love of God. Judgment's coming. But there is mercy. And it's in one place, the ark, for 120 years. He preached. 8 people. Right now. As in the days of Noah, our Lord said. As in the days of Lot. How many came out of Sodom? How many came out of Sodom? Why did they come out? 3 people. Why did they come out? Tammy, why did they come out? The Lord being merciful to them. The Lord laid hold. Lot said, I'm going to stay. Lot's wife said, oh, look, she perished. 3 people came out because the Lord in mercy and grace lay hold of them, John, and pulled them out, or else they would have perished with everybody else. And that's me. That's me. As in the days of Paul, everywhere Paul went, he incited a riot. Why? Everywhere he went, they wanted to lynch him. Why? Paul, there wasn't a more loving, kind, gracious, meek, mild, compassionate man on the face, merciful man on the face of the earth. But why did they hate him so? For the truth's sake. For the truth's sake. And one time he was standing before the king and he said, I want to hear what you have to say because I know everywhere what you're saying is spoken against. That's today. Today. Persecution. Persecution. That's a token for good. It's a token for good because he said, read on, I didn't read the rest of it. Verse 29, unto you it is given in behalf of Christ not only to believe on Him, but also to suffer for His sake. That doesn't mean go out as a missionary and suffer deprivation and hunger and all of that. It means suffer for the truth's sake. Suffer persecution. Suffer being maligned. Our Lord said, blessed are ye when men shall revile you and persecute you and say all manner of evil falsely for my name's sake. They did it to the prophet. You're in good company. It's a token. It's a token. And you tell the truth to people and they get angry with you. Let's not ourselves be the cause of their anger or offense. We're to speak it in meekness and humility. Nevertheless, say it boldly. Say it plainly. And this persecution is a token of God's grace and of God's good. He said there in 1 Thessalonians, he said this also, knowing your election, that you received the word in much affliction. Received the word in much affliction. It was Bunyan and his Pilgrim's Progress. And every one of us have experienced it. When the Lord showed
Pilgrim the truth. He went home to his family and told them all, thinking they'll all rejoice with me. They're all going to love this too. Listen to what the Lord's revealed to me. Listen, brother so-and-so, or my sister. Listen to what the Lord has taught me. And you tell them, and you see the veins pop out in their neck. And they get mad at you. It takes you back, doesn't it? Our Lord said, that's a token. It's a token. It's given unto you. Trials and affliction. Trials and afflictions that happen to all of God's people are tokens for good. God sends trial. Every trial is sent by the Lord Himself. Troubles. Job, all that Job went through was sent by God. What was it all about? Tokens for good. Everyone the Lord loves, He chastens. Everyone whom He has given this faith to, He tries that faith. And it is found, it's tried like gold in the fire. And it is found unto praise, honor, and glory. Trials are tokens for good, revealing that we do have faith, that He gave it, that His grace is sufficient, showing us Himself near and dear to us at that time. Oh my. And there's so much more. I could give you so much more. Provisions. All our lives the Lord has provided for His people. David said this. He said, I've been old and I've been young. I'm now old and I've never seen the righteous forsaken or his seed begging bread. Never. Never. And it's true. You won't be. God provide. Listen to this. In Nehemiah, I told you to read chapter 9 for yourself. And I did it, and I listened to myself and read it again. And he said, the Lord in His manifold mercies forsook them not. For 40 years He sustained them in the wilderness. They lacked nothing. Their clothes waxed not old. Their feet swelled not. They didn't need a thing. Some of you spent a lot longer than 40. Right, John? 72. Right, Nancy? 73. You can attest that you've never missed a meal. You've never been without raiment, food and raiment. You've never been without the necessity. Our Lord said He would do that. Before you knew Him, He girded you. Before you knew Him, He fed you. Why? It's a token for good. And now you know, don't you, who it is. The Lord gives tokens like this. Token His people. He puts His sheep in a flock. This is a token for good right here. All of God's sheep, He said, they'll be a member of a fold with one shepherd. That's how you know they're sheep. It's a token for good. When the Lord puts you in a flock, makes you to lie down in green pastures beside the still water, restores your soul and shows you the Lord Jesus Christ, the great shepherd of the sheep, that you have no want because of Him. And puts you in a flock because God has no solitary sheep. Not for long. If they are, He'll eventually bring them into a fold. And that's a token for good. A token. You're a member of His body, of His church, a sheep. You know, that's a characteristic of sheep. They have to have other sheep. They're gregarious. They have to congregate, have to flock together, unlike unclean animals, unlike goats, for the most part. But sheep have to have one another. And they thrive in a flock together. And they need a shepherd and so forth. That's a good token. You need people of like faith. You need this flock. You need to flock together, gather together. You need to rub shoulders with these people. That's a good token. A good token. When I came here 20-some years ago, I wanted, right or wrong, a token from the Lord that I was a pastor. That He sent me to be a pastor, a leader of His flock. And a token, that token is sheep, fruit. You know them by their fruits. Okay? And I asked him, right or wrong, I asked him, if you sent me, if I'm a preacher of the gospel, a true preacher, and a pastor of your people, let somebody hear the gospel unto me. Give a new birth unto me. That's proof. It's proof. And he did. Amazingly. Much to my amazement. Through this poor, pitiful fellow. And I look out right now and some of those people still sitting here. Amazing. And I look out here and to my amazement, people that have been here before I got here and still here, through all my youth and all my mistakes and all my changes and all that, but they're still listening to me. That's a token for good to me. I need that. I need that. The Lord showed me that. And for you, it's a token that if you can still get great joy out of the gospel, though preached through an earthen vessel. You know, David said this in the psalm. He said, "Say unto my soul, I am thy salvation. Say unto my soul, I am thy salvation." There are so many tokens from God's Word that there are too many to live. All right, here's one. This is a faithful saint. Say unto my soul, show me a token. All right, here it is. This is a faithful saint and worthy of all acceptation that Jesus Christ came into the world to save sinners. I love that verse. Why? Because my name is there. My name is there. What's that? Sinner. Sinner. Yeah, but I need him to say to my soul, all right? Hold on. Hold on. Our Lord stood one day and he said, "Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden." That labor, that wrestle with and struggle with sin and unbelief and labor under a sense of whatever, guilt and so forth. That labor and are heavy laden. He said, "Come unto me, all of you." The only qualification is need. The only qualification is laboring and heavy laden. The only qualification is sinner. I fit that. "Come unto me," he said, "I'll give you rest." Yeah, but I want him to say to my soul, "I am thy soul." All right. Here he said this. "Verily, verily." And when the Lord says something twice, listen up. "Verily, verily, I say unto you," who? Whoever's listening. "He that heareth my words and believeth on him that sent me hath passed from death unto life and shall not come into condemnation." That's just, he couldn't say out loud to you, "I am thy salvation," more than that, Brother Norris. He couldn't do it. "Say unto my soul," okay, "verily, verily, I say unto you, he that heareth, believeth, hath passed from death unto life." Need some more? Okay, just start reading for yourself. Okay? Just go home and start reading for yourself. Because all the promises of God are to His people. And they're yea and amen. They're sure. The promises in the Lord Jesus Christ. And, you know, He speaks to us all the time. And we, like Samuel, we're not aware of it. All of His children are just like Samuel. We heard Sunday morning. He speaks to us all the time. He shows us token after token, and we don't recognize it. And we need to be like Eli of old and say, "Just go lie down and say, I'm listening. Speak." And He'll show you. Say and show me a sure token. A token for good. Has He showed you the truth? Huh? Has He given you faith? Oh my. Love for the truth. Some amount of persecution because of it. Trials, afflictions, the people that you love. All these things. Okay. Stand with me. Our Lord, thank you for your sure word, sure mercies of David, the sure promises of our God that are in Christ. Thank you, Lord. Like David of old, we want and need a sure token from Thee, and You've given us so very many. Lord, recall these things to our mind when we need it the most. Your people, say unto Your people's soul and heart and mind that You are their salvation. And someone not yet revealed Yourself to, Lord, be pleased, according to Your will and purpose, reveal Yourself to them. Your truth, reveal Your Son in them. Show them Thy glory. Show them who they are and their need of the Lord Jesus Christ. Show them that He is all our hope and salvation. Show them, Lord, it's up to Thee. Not up to us, it's up to Thee. So we call upon You. Thank You, Lord, for the Word. Thank You for the Gospel. Thank You for Your people. It's in Christ's name we pray and met here tonight. Amen. You're dismissed.